Hang on. How about now, Mr. Wood?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're very faint. If you could just get closer to the mic or speak up, that would be great. But whenever you're ready, take it away.
Sure. How's that? Is that better?
Slightly.
Slightly better. All right, I will try and speak much louder into the microphone. Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little better. We're going to try to fix it on our end, so we'll listen intently. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm assuming that somebody there will be clicking through my slides for me. So this is just a quick presentation detailing the management track assessment for Southern New England flounder that occurred this year. Next slide, please. The last assessment for this species was in 2020 as part of the multi-species groundfish assessment. The current model is a statistical catch and age model in ASAP with ages 1 through 7+, and years at the time of the previous operational assessment were through 2019. The reference points for the stock at that time were FMSY equal to 0.284 and an SSB MSY of about 12,000 metric tons. And the stock status at that time was the stock was overfished, but overfishing was not occurring. Next slide, please. The first term of reference was to estimate catch from all sources, including landings and discards. Next slide, please. The fishery-dependent data for this assessment are commercial landings, commercial discards, recreational landings, and recreational discards. The commercial landings come from the AA tables from 1981 to 2019 and from the new CAM system from 2020 and 2021. And these are stratified by market category, quarter, and or half year. The commercial discards are based on our SBRM approach, and they are based also on CAMS 2020 and 2021 data for those respective years. Recreational landings are the MRIP calibrated AB1 data, and recreational discards are the MRIP calibrated B2 data. Next slide, please. So again, the 2020 and 2021 commercial landings come from CAMS. The 2020 landings were 120 metric tons, and 2021 was 87 metric tons, with a time series average of 2,800 metric tons. Next slide, please. Commercial discards assume a 50% discard mortality. They mostly come from trawl scallop dredge fisheries. The 2021 commercial discards were 122 metric tons with a time series average of 431 metric tons. Next slide, please. Recreational landings from MRIP. In 2021, the recreational landings were 5.1 metric tons with a time series average of about 1,800 metric tons. Both recreational landings and recreational discards for the species have pretty much fallen off of a cliff compared to earlier or historical values. Next slide, please. And the recreational discards in 2021 were 1.1 metric tons with a time series average of 163 metric tons. Next slide, please. So 2021 total catch was 216 metric tons, well below the time series average of about 5,400 metric tons. Next slide, please. It's just a plot that shows the total catch components throughout the time series of the data used in the assessment. Next slide, please. The next term of reference was to evaluate the indices. Next slide, please. For the fishery independent data in this assessment, We use the Northeast Fisheries Science Center winter, spring, and fall surveys, the NEOMAP spring survey, the Massachusetts DMF spring, Rhode Island DMF spring, Connecticut spring, New Jersey ocean and river, a long-term time series from the University of Rhode Island Graduate School of Oceanography, as well as two recruitment time series from Massachusetts and Connecticut. Next slide, please. For what I'm calling the regional surveys here, which are our Science Center surveys and the NEOMAP survey, these are all scaled to their relative mean. And there's a pretty similar trend that we saw on the catch here, with all of these surveys dropping off very dramatically over the past decade or two. Next slide, please. Here are the state surveys that I went over. Again, same trend, consistent with the catch trends that we're seeing. They're all much lower than the initial or historical values in the time series. Next slide, please. And finally, the 2H0 surveys. One of them is relatively flat, and the Connecticut seems to have dropped off pretty drastically over the past decade or so. Next slide, please. For the biological information used in the assessment, natural mortality is a constant 0.3. We use maturity data from the Massachusetts Spring Survey, and these input values come out of the last benchmark assessment, which was in 2011, and they are retained for this management track. Next slide, please. So the modeling term of reference is next. Next slide, please. The final model configuration for this management track was a single fleet. It encompasses both commercial and recreational landings and discards with three selectivity blocks, horse flat top selectivity, 12 survey indices, 10 with full age structure and 2 age zero indices and penalties on numbers in the first year. Next slide, please. The results in biomass, 2021 biomass estimates, total biomass, 4,700 metric tons with an SSB around 3,300 metric tons and an exploitable biomass about 4,200 metric tons. Next slide, please. F in 2021 was 0.061. Next slide, please. And recruitment was 4.4 million fish. Next slide, please. The retrospective bias in the estimates has decreased since the previous operational assessment and is still considered a minor or is considered a minor retrospective pattern in both F and SSB. So no retrospective adjustments were made to the terminal year estimates in this model. Next slide, please. This was the bulk of the changes that went into this assessment for this management track, and that was redefining some of the information that goes into estimating the biological reference points for this stock. Next slide, please. We use a SPR 40 reference as a proxy for FMSY. The FMSY proxy is 0.265. Next slide, please. The current projection methodology uses a recruitment stanza from the entire time series. There's been some both peer review panel, SSC, and council comments over the years that we should probably shift to a more representative productivity time, a representative time series that represents the current productivity of the stock. So that was done for this assessment go round. So we moved to a more recent stanza for recruitment. It is more reflective of the current stock productivity. And I used a few different methods to help me pick that stanza. Next slide, please. But first, just looking at the median of the empirical CDFs of different subsets of the time series. The median for the entire time series is about 15,000 metric tons and leads to an SSBMSY of almost 11,000 metric tons. If we look at the last 20 years, the median is 4,700 metric tons, leads to an SSBMSY of 3,300 metric tons. And if we look at the last 10 years, the median is 4,100 metric tons with an SSBMSY of 2,100 metric tons. Next slide, please. So just looking at the recruitment time series, we have a temperature index that we've developed for a environmentally driven stock recruit relationship within a stock assessment model that's run alongside of this current assessment model. So I took that temperature time series. Next slide, please. I apologize, this next slide is kind of messy. But basically that temperature index is developed using winter mean estuary temperature from 5 estuaries up the coast. Those estuaries are Buzzards Bay, Chesapeake Bay, Delaware Bay, Long Island Sound, and Narragansett Bay, represented by these colored lines on the plot here. The red area is a 5 degree centimeter threshold, which comes out of a paper by Abel et al. In 2016 that says years that have an average mean winter temperature above 5 degrees typically lend to poor recruitment. So next slide, please. Those 5 winter time series are compiled into a single index here. And you can see over the past 20 years, this index has crossed that 5 degree centimeter threshold 6 times, 4 times over the past 10 years. So it's crossing that threshold with more regularity in more recent years. Next slide, please. Using that information along with a recursive partition regression tree on the recruitment time series, the regression tree indicated splits in 1990 and 2002. So using kind of the median, investigating the medians, using the frequency of crossing that threshold for our temperature index, as well as this quantitative method, this regression tree selecting a split in 2002, we went with the 20-year time series for the recruitment stanza to be used in the projections. Next slide, please. So the temperature index has crossed over the 5-degree level 6 times in the past 20 years and 4 times in the past 10. It is possible if we see some stable or cooler temperatures, we could achieve some of those somewhat higher recruitment levels from the early 2000s. The regression tree suggested a split in 1990 and 2002, proposed using the last 20 years of recruitment. I did initially propose using a moving window, but that was not looked upon favorably by the review panel. Next slide, please. So the current updated reference points based on the new 20-year stanza of recruitment would give us an SSBMSY of 3,314 metric tons, with the current stock at 3,353 metric tons. That changes the stock status. Next slide, please. So the status has changed. The stock is not overfished. Overfishing is not occurring. No retrospective adjustment was made. Next slide, please. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wood. So to the council, any questions for Mr. Wood on his presentation? I don't see any hands. Am I missing somebody? Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for the presentation. And it was very fascinating to see how the management track folks really took into account that, and I appreciate that they realized that there is something going on with Southern New England winter flounder. I work with a lot of fishermen that, I have to say, used to target that stock. It's now more of a minimal bycatch than anything. And it's good to see that the science is finally catching up to what my members have been telling me for the longest time. So there's the praise, but now my question kind of refers back to, You didn't speak to it in this, but I know it had come up during the June meeting on this. I was wondering if you could kind of give us a little highlight or speak to the differences. I believe there was a run comparing the AA table catch accounting versus the CAMS catch accounting. I believe it was fishing year 2019. I'm a little concerned about the differences that we're seeing, and I was wondering if you could kind of explain a little more to that. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. That wasn't brought into the modeling. That was the data portion of the presentation where I did. So we have 1 year of overlap between our AA table process and the new CAMS process. And for Southern New England winter flounder, when you go from the AA table to CAMS in 2019, the stock loses 50 metric tons of landings, and those landings shift to both the Gulf of Maine stock and the Georges Bank stock. There are some plots in my full presentation from that management track that shows what I think is happening, but I wasn't involved in the CAMS process itself, so I don't know how the algorithms have changed and how the assignment of landings procedures have changed. So I can only speculate on how I think those landings shifted, and I've done that in that presentation. But when it comes to CAMS itself, I can't really speak or answer questions on that. I know CAMS is going to be going through a full peer review. Hopefully we can get some more years of overlap for comparison purposes. But those were the data that we had at the time that this assessment was taking place.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. I mean, understand that you weren't involved in the actual data component, and maybe our, I don't know if it's Science Center or GARFO folks can speak to that, but I mean, to me, in my sector reporting to the government, if I'm off by one metric ton, I'm getting a phone call or I'm getting an email. I mean, to see that there's a difference of 53 metric tons in two different types of accounting. Apparently, we're not all looking at the same data set. So it's concerning to me for this stock, but it's also concerning to me every other stock that has stock area components, not unit stock. So I'm hoping in the future we can get a better discussion on what CAMS is, what's the difference, and which one is right. Thank you.
Mr. Neese.
So I want to follow up a little bit on Mr. Salerno's questions. I don't know how much detail to go into. The catch accounting system that we know as the AA tables was peer reviewed in 2008 during the GARM 3 assessment. And in order to assign catch to a stock area or to a statistical area, which then gets translated into a stock area, you have to match a VTR to a dealer database and to a dealer report, because the landings data, at least in the AA tables, was taken from the dealer and the location was taken from the VTR. For years, we could not match every VTR trip specifically to a dealer data, to a dealer record, for various reasons. And so the AA approach went through a algorithm, which I can't really describe, but there were basically four levels. You know, the top level was you could match a dealer record to a VTR data, a trip exactly. And then the other levels got progressively worse, where you couldn't. And so under the AA tables, you know, if you had the worst level, you're basically assigning a trip based on what people with that gear in that port did. So there's, bluntly, the non-scientific term is slop in how stuff was assigned to a stock area. That's my term, not what they say. I don't actually know how the CAMS table does it, because we've never received an explanation on exactly what CAMS is doing. But the thing I'm a little concerned about is that we've asked the question before at NRCC about whether there's going to be comparisons of additional years of CAMS to AA tables, like Mr. Woods suggested would be helpful. And I'd like to turn to either GARFO or the Science Center, because my understanding is that is not planned. at least not for any of the more recent years. I don't know if you're planning to go back in time to make the comparisons.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take the conversation here and interest in doing a broader comparison. As Dr. Wood suggested, it is going to be peer-reviewed, and so that would be something for us to consider to include in that peer review. We haven't made a decision on how much comparison we're going to be able to do between CAMS and the AA tables. I think it is important to recognize, you know, the purpose of CAMS is so that we have one regional catch accounting. You know, previously the AA tables were what we used in the stock assessments at the Science Center, and GARFO did their own catch accounting for quota monitoring. And those data sometimes showed differences as well. So the purpose of CAMS is to have one catch accounting region, one catch accounting system for the region. But there are going to be these discrepancies between the AA tables and CAMS and the potentially between the GARFO sort of quota monitoring and CAMS. But we will do a peer review and put forward the best catch accounting system for the region that we're able to.
Ms. Etrie.
Thank you. Just probably more of a comment, just to back up what was said by Tom and Dan, as it relates to this, well, two things and expand on it. As it relates to this peer review, I would highly encourage the comparisons to happen. We have actually quite a few assessments we'll hear that are currently using CAMS, and to fully understand where these discrepancies are happening and what the magnitude is going to be important, because years later, if this comes back and bites us, the question will be, why didn't you do the comparison when folks were, when you were doing the peer review? So I just want to, I appreciate and support the idea of one regional system, but I think that we're seeing some, I don't want to call them concerns, but there are questions that are being raised as more assessments are using CAMS, and so the more robust the peer review could be would be helpful, including, I think, that transparency of how the algorithms are working, both for council staff that I think are trying to understand how to use it within their structures, but also for all of us that ultimately start digging a little bit deeper. That would be incredibly helpful with that. And then I would just also say, I know that there's been tabletop reviews, and then we had the Delta file review that I don't know how that was occurring, but to the extent that there could be some broad publication and notification to folks about this peer review, it would be incredibly helpful for those that of us that want to have a better understanding of CAMS. Would hate to see something similar to the Delta file review that I think we just all got kind of a little bit confused that it was even being reviewed. So thank you.
Anyone else from the council? Anyone from the audience? The public? Back to the council. Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Wood. Next up, we have John DeRoba. John, if you're with us, we're going to get started whenever you're ready for Herring. Hang on, we're going to unmute you, John.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, doctor, thank you.
Thank you. All right, shifting gears to the Atlantic Herring Management Track Assessment. Next slide.